MyAudiobooks.ai presents The Longevity Paradox. What happened when scientists combined rapamycin with exercise? In a clinical trial that longevity researchers have been anticipating for years, scientists finally tested the two most popular anti-aging interventions against each other in the same human beings. The study, known as RAPA-X-01, and published in a peer-reviewed journal, asked a question that cuts to the heart of the modern longevity movement. If you give older adults rapamycin, the drug that biohackers and Silicon Valley longevity enthusiasts called the most promising life extension compound ever discovered, while they simultaneously follow an exercise program, does the drug amplify the benefits of exercise, or does it cancel them out?
The answer matters enormously, because exercise is the single most proven intervention in all of aging science, and rapamycin is the single most hyped drug. If the drug blunts the exercise, the entire stack-it-all longevity protocol collapses on contact with its own best evidence. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library.
During our research into the primary trial publication, the cell biology of the mTOR pathway, and the decade of hype that preceded the data, we found a story about why the most celebrated longevity drug may fight the most reliable longevity behavior. How a molecule discovered in Easter Island soil became a Silicon Valley sacrament, and what this first head-to-head trial means for everyone who takes both. Section 1. The Molecule and the Muscle.
To understand the trial's stakes, you have to understand what rapamycin actually does inside a cell. Rapamycin, also called sirolimus, works by inhibiting a protein complex called mTOR, mechanistic target of rapamycin, which acts as the cell's master growth switch. When mTOR is active, cells grow, divide, and build protein. When it is inhibited, cells shift into maintenance mode. They stop growing, ramp up cellular cleanup processes called autophagy, and become more stress resistant. In nearly every model organism tested, yeast, worms, flies, mice, dialing down mTOR extends lifespan. It is the most replicated result in the biology of aging, and it is why rapamycin became the darling of the longevity world.
The molecule's origin story only deepened the mystique. Rapamycin was first isolated from a bacterium found in the soil of Easter Island, Rapa Nui, the island that gave the drug its name, in the 1970s by researchers hunting for new antibiotics. It turned out to be a poor antibiotic, but a potent immunosuppressant, and for decades, its only medical use was preventing organ transplant rejection. The leap to aging came from the longevity science community's discovery that the same pathway the drug silences in immune cells also governs how all cells decide between growing and maintaining themselves. A transplant drug became a longevity candidate, and a longevity candidate became a cultural phenomenon.
The mTOR pathway sits at the center of one of biology's oldest survival traits. When nutrients are abundant, mTOR tells the cell to grow and divide. When nutrients are scarce, its suppression forces the cell into a conservation posture, repairing damage, recycling worn-out proteins, and resisting stress. Caloric restriction, the most reliable lifespan intervention ever studied, works largely through this switch. That is the seductive logic of rapamycin. If eating less extends life by quieting mTOR, perhaps a drug can quiet it pharmacologically, delivering the benefit without the hunger. The entire longevity drug hypothesis rests on that substitution.
What the hypothesis rarely mentions is that the same growth signal is not merely a driver of aging. It is also the engine of every beneficial adaptation the body makes in response to stress, exercise chief among them.
Here's the problem, and it is not a small one. Exercise builds muscle and improves function largely by activating mTOR. When you lift a weight or sprint up a hill, the mechanical stress on muscle fibers triggers mTOR signaling, which drives the protein synthesis that repairs and strengthens the tissue. The same molecular switch that longevity enthusiasts want to suppress for lifespan is the switch that makes exercise work. This is not a fringe concern raised by skeptics. It is the central mechanistic question in the field. And until RAPA-X01, no one had tested it head-to-head in humans.
The adaptation itself is worth understanding because it is the reason exercise remains unmatched by any drug. When muscle fibers contract under load, they do more than burn calories. They trigger a cascade that improves insulin sensitivity, builds new capillaries, strengthens bone, releases anti-inflammatory signaling molecules called myokines, and remodels the mitochondria that power every cell. That whole body response is why exercise simultaneously lowers the risk of heart disease, diabetes, dementia, depression, and early death in study after study. No single molecule has ever replicated that breadth, because a pill targets one pathway, and exercise recruits nearly all of them at once. Which is exactly why the question of whether rapamycin interferes with it is so consequential. You are not comparing two equal options. You are asking whether a single pathway drug can sit on top of a whole system intervention without breaking it. Section 2. Inside the RAPA-EX-01 trial. The trial randomized older adults into groups receiving once-weekly rapamycin at a moderate dose, a placebo, or the same interventions layered on top of a structured home-based exercise program. The design is what makes it important. Rather than asking whether rapamycin alone helps, a question complicated by the drug's immunosuppressive side effects at transplant doses, the researchers asked whether a weekly longevity-style dose would enhance or inhibit the functional gains from exercise, the one intervention already known to work. The context for that design choice is the existing evidence base, which is thinner than the hype suggests. The famous lifespan results come almost entirely from animals. The mouse studies are real and repeatedly replicated, but mice do not lift weights, and a sedentary laboratory rodent is precisely the model in which a growth-suppressing drug shines. Turn down growth, and age-related pathology slows. Humans who exercise are a different model entirely, because their health span gains flow through the very growth pathway the drug blocks. That gap between the animal frame and the human frame is the space the trial was built to interrogate. If rapamycin helps the sedentary mouse but interferes with the active human, the entire case for healthy people taking it alongside exercise weakens. The findings, published with full data, landed on the side of caution. The rapamycin plus exercise combination did not produce the additive benefit the longevity community predicted. In some functional measures, the drug appeared to blunt the improvement the exercise-only group achieved, precisely the interference the cell biology warned about. The trial was modest in size and exploratory in places, but its direction was unmistakable. You cannot take the growth switch down and up at the same time and expect both effects. To be precise about what a result like this does and does not prove, a small exploratory trial cannot settle a mechanistic war, and the authors are careful not to claim it does. What it establishes is a signal consistent with the biology, one strong enough to demand a larger confirmatory study before anyone should comfortably combine the two. In evidence terms, it moves the interference hypothesis from theoretical concern to live clinical question. For the millions of people currently taking rapamycin alongside their training, that shift alone is significant. The burden of proof has quietly moved from show it is safe to stack to show the stack does not subtract.
This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. Consult a healthcare professional before starting or stopping any medication, including rapamycin, which is a prescription immunosuppressant with real risks. Section 3. The hype preceded the data.
What makes RAPA-X-01 a story rather than a footnote is the size of the expectation it collided with. Rapamycin's rise from transplant ward immunosuppressant to longevity sacrament is a case study in how a molecule becomes a movement. The animal data was genuinely thrilling. Mice given rapamycin late in life lived longer, and the lifespan extension held across independent labs. Longevity clinics began prescribing weekly rapamycin off-label. Tech founders disclosed their regimens on podcasts. A generation of health optimization enthusiasts began cycling the drug alongside their training, cold plunges, and supplement stacks on the theory that more interventions must mean more benefit.
The commercial machinery scaled faster than the evidence. Off-label rapamycin prescribing moved from a handful of academic longevity clinics into a broader gray market of telehealth providers and concierge practices, where a patient could describe their goals in an intake form and receive a prescription within days. The drug itself is cheap. It has been generic for years. But the monitoring, the branding, and the subscription wrapper around it are not. A market emerged selling the molecule as a membership. And through all of it, the core biological tension sat in plain view in the scientific literature, largely unmentioned in the marketing. The pathway the drug suppresses is the pathway exercise needs.
Almost none of them were told that the drug's mechanism directly opposes the mechanism of their workouts. The marketing of longevity has always been additive. Take this and that. Stack this on top of that. Because that is how products get sold. Biology does not work on addition. Pathways interfere. A molecule that extends a sedentary mouse's life by slowing growth may do nothing but subtract from an active human's gains by blocking the adaptation the workout was supposed to trigger. Section 4. The original angle. The intervention hierarchy.
Setting the trial against the broader longevity landscape reveals the real lesson. The interventions with the strongest human evidence are unglamorous and free. Exercise, sleep, not smoking, blood pressure control. The interventions with the loudest marketing are pharmacological, expensive, and built on animal data. RAPA-X01 is the first major test of whether the loud layer can be safely stacked on the proven layer. And the early answer is no, or at least not without cost.
This is the hierarchy the wellness industry works hardest to obscure, because it is bad for business. If the free intervention outperforms the paid one, and the paid one may actually interfere with the free one, then the entire subscription model of longevity collapses into a single piece of advice no one can charge for. Move your body consistently with resistance for the rest of your life. That advice has no recurring revenue, no affiliate link, and no proprietary blend. It is also, by a wide margin, the best-supported longevity prescription in the history of medicine, and the trial's reminder of that fact may be its most valuable contribution.
That has an uncomfortable implication for the longevity industry. If the most promising drug in the pipeline cannot be combined with the most proven behavior without interference, then the industry's entire everything stack model is not just unproven, but mechanistically self-defeating. The customer paying hundreds of dollars a month for a rapamycin prescription and a gym membership may be paying to cancel one with the other. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines, told the way a clinician would want them told, with the null results left in.
Section 5. What to look for next.
The first signal is replication.
RAPA-EX-01 was exploratory and a larger, longer trial with hard functional and molecular endpoints will determine whether the blunting effect holds or was a small sample artifact. That follow-up is the single most important readout in the field right now. The second is dosing strategy. Some researchers argue that pulsing rapamycin away from training days or using it in sedentary periods rather than alongside exercise blocks could resolve the interference, and watch for trials that test timing rather than just presence. The third is the broader pipeline. Several mTOR-adjacent compounds and senolytics are moving through human trials, and the question of whether any pharmacological longevity agent can coexist with exercise will shape which of them ever reach clinic.
The fourth is the clinical guideline response. If interference is confirmed, longevity clinics currently prescribing the combination will face pressure to disclose the interaction to patients, and that disclosure practice is itself worth watching as a measure of how the field self-corrects. Each of these determines whether rapamycin ends up as a useful tool for specific sedentary or frail populations, or as the cautionary tale of the first longevity bubble. Section 6. The broader pattern, an open question. The broad pattern is the collision between the wellness economy and the biology of trade-offs. The longevity industry sells addition. Stack everything, optimize everything, leave nothing on the table. But physiology is built on trade-offs, and mTOR is the clearest one in the field. Growth versus maintenance. Adaptation versus preservation. You cannot buy your way past a trade-off with a prescription pad. There's a second pattern, and it is about evidence order. The strongest proof in aging science has always belonged to the boring interventions: movement, rest, metabolic health, while the exciting ones arrived later and smaller. RAPA-X01 did not debunk rapamycin so much as remind the field which layer of evidence sits at the bottom of the pyramid. The drug may still have a role. It is just not a substitute for the workout. Which leaves the open question. If the most celebrated longevity drug blunts the most proven longevity behavior, how many of the other compounds in the modern anti-aging stack are quietly doing the same? And will anyone run the trials to find out before the marketing outruns the biology for good? The trial data is published. The paradox is real. The pyramid has a base, and it is not a pill. It is a barbell. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai.
This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.